This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart. Joining me today is guest host John Fugelsang.
And thank you, Allison. Today is Thursday, the 27th of December, and we have breaking news from Pakistan.
Two-time Prime Minister, Pakistani opposition leader Benazir Bhutto is dead. She was killed in a gun and suicide bomb attack that killed at least 20 others at a political rally in Rawalpindi near the capital city of Islamabad.
A security advisor told the Associated Press that Bhutto was shot in the neck and chest as she got into her vehicle shortly after addressing her rally. The gunman then blew himself up.
And of course, this is an evolving story. We'll bring you more details as they become available. Bhutto, who was 54 years old, was taken to Rawalpindi General Hospital, where she died at 6:16 p.m. local time. That is according to Asif Ali Khan, a member of Bhutto's party. Her supporters at the hospital exploded in anger, smashing the glass door at the main entrance of the emergency unit.
And reports of sporadic violence around the country have begun to come in. Some protesters have been heard chanting "Dog Musharraf, dog," of course referring to Pakistan's president, Pervez Musharraf, who has very publicly clashed with Bhutto at times.
The United States has been encouraging Musharraf to reach some kind of political accommodation with the opposition, particularly Bhutto, the former prime minister, who is seen as having wide base of support in the Southwest Asian nation. Her assassination is likely to throw the January 8th Pakistani elections into disarray.
Bhutto had returned to Pakistan from an eight-year exile on October 18th. Her homecoming parade in Karachi was also targeted by a suicide bomber. That attack killed 140 people, but Bhutto narrowly escaped injury.
Now, in Washington, Deputy State Department spokesman Tom Casey condemned the attack and said, quote, "It demonstrates that there are those in Pakistan who want to subvert reconciliation and efforts to advance democracy. We are awaiting President Bush's statement. It's expected to happen live at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We're a few minutes past that, but obviously this is a fluid situation. When the president does step up to the mic, we will bring it to you live. But until then, John."
Well, moments ago we spoke with Sam Zia Zafiri, Research Director at the Asia Division of Human Rights Watch. Here is some of that conversation. Pakistan has been embroiled in political turmoil for months since Bhutto returned to Pakistan last October. As we know, she was a vocal opponent of Musharraf. She wanted him to take off his military uniform that they might make a power-sharing deal. He did, but he also called a state of emergency, so Bhutto called off the deal. Some of her supporters are blaming Musharraf for her death. What do you think this means for Pakistan's security situation, let alone its political system?
Well, first of all, it's no doubt that this is really a dark day in Pakistan. Benazir Bhutto had a spotty record as the prime minister. She had the office twice in 1988 and then in 1993. And she had certainly a lot of problems during her tenure. But she also really stood for the notion of civilian rule in Pakistan. Her father was a beloved prime minister who had also been killed. And so she held out the promise of something better happening to Pakistan. And certainly, I think, for the United States, she had become the focal point of their Pakistan strategy. So her death and this kind of attack on civilians, which unfortunately we're seeing more and more in Pakistan, really signals a major, major deterioration of the situation there. We're very concerned about what's going to happen with her supporters possibly taking to the streets, her party, the PPP, the People's Party is the largest and most popular party in Pakistan, and so there is really the possibility of angry outbursts by her supporters, especially in Sindh province, which was her power base. And we certainly expect the military now to impose martial law and to go back on the streets, and I think all eyes are on President Musharraf right now and also his national backers and really the United States to see how they will respond to this. It's clear that there is an absolute failure of the current policies in Pakistan. There is absolutely, we're no closer to democracy, quite a bit farther from democracy, and security in Pakistan and all the areas around it has degenerated significantly over the last few months.
Sam, Rawalpindi is a garrison city, and it's seen as one of Pakistan's more secure cities. Does this make the military look negligent in her death? This was not expected to happen today, and will the perception be that the military was not paying close enough attention to security risks towards Ms. Bhutto?
There will certainly be questions raised. As you mentioned, Rawalpindi had until now been one of the most secure places in Pakistan. It is a garrison city, and so there is really a question about what the military is doing if it can't provide security for an election rally. Remember, President Musharraf had declared elections to be held on January 8th. So the question for the Pakistani military is, if it can't protect Pakistani civilians from this kind of attack, and if it can't protect the country from the worsening situation from neo-Taliban groups in the border areas, then what exactly is it doing, and why does it feel like it should be in a position of ruling the country as it has for the past decade?
Sam, I want to read a quote to you from one of the reports coming out of the region. One of her party officials said, quote, "She has been martyred." Do you think that will be the prevailing point of view?
I think there's no question that she is going to be held as a martyred hero of Pakistan, notwithstanding her many political and possibly personal shortcomings. Like I said, she really did stand for the idea of civilian rule. Many people viewed her as the only hope right now for a peaceful transition out of the mess that President Musharraf had made. And to be assassinated like this will place her, unfortunately, in the same pantheon of heroes as her father, who was also killed after a military coup.
Sam, you had mentioned the popularity of Benazir Bhutto's Pakistan People's Party. She was one of the first democratically elected female prime ministers in an Islamic country, and she knew the risks of returning to Pakistan. Could you remind our listeners why she returned this past October after all those years in exile, and what did her return signify?
Sure. She had gone into exile basically because she and her husband mostly had been facing corruption charges, actually, and therefore she had been essentially banned from politics. After President Musharraf came in, he was certainly not anxious to have her around because she was essentially his chief rival for authority. But by October, it was clear that President Musharraf's legitimacy was eroding, and I think the people of Pakistan and supporters of Pakistan's government, like the United States, were casting about, and they thought that that Ms. Bhutto could return, could either through a power-sharing arrangement or some other arrangement, basically regain some legitimacy for the battered Pakistani government. And so she returned to clear her name and to basically return as the savior of the country from President Musharraf.
Well, Sam Zia Zarifi, we are out of time right now, but I do want to thank you. Sam Zia Zarifi is Research Director of the Asia Division at Human Rights Watch in Washington, D.C., and we thank you for your time and expertise. I'm sure we'll be coming back to you on this breaking story.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. It is 11:08 Eastern Time on December 27th, and we are continuing to follow this breaking news story of the morning that Benazir Bhutto, the former prime minister of Pakistan and the opposition leader, was assassinated earlier today. We spoke moments ago with a member of Benazir Bhutto's media team, an emotional Farah Isfahani, who was at the hospital when Bhutto died. Hello, Farah. This is Allison Stewart from NPR. Where are you right now?
I am just outside the grounds of the Rawalpindi General Hospital, where they brought Ms. Benazir Bhutto, former Prime Minister of Pakistan, and they brought other party leaders who were also injured. There are riots starting in the grounds of the hospital. Glass has been smashed. There are people are chanting slogans against Musharraf, as this was a huge breach of security.
Can you look around you right now, and will you please describe the scene for me in detail?
Hospitals. It's mob with workers from the Pakistan People's Party, and all through the grounds of the hospital outside and on the streets now, they're burning posters of President Musharraf's political party. Electricity lines are being cut off, and people are crying and in disarray. race.
Is it clear when Ms. Bhutto died?
Do you mean a time or
yes.
a location?
Both. Did she die at the hospital or was she killed
yes,
at the scene?
Yes. She passed away at the hospital. They took her to an operating theater as she was injured in the suicide bombing. And she passed away at the hospital.
You obviously sound incredibly upset. For our listeners, can you put into words what it is you're feeling right now?
Ms. Bhutto came back from a very comfortable life abroad. She came back to fight these forces of extremism. She came back to try and bring Pakistan back towards a secular democracy. People like myself left our homes and left our families and joined her. The army killed her father. Both her brothers were assassinated, and yet she came back. She came back for this country. She was a real daughter of the soil of Pakistan.
And Farah, what do you anticipate will happen in the days following this assassination of Benazir Bhutto?
At this moment, the vice chairman of the Pakistan People's Party, Makhzoom Amin Fahim, and some other party leaders are still at the hospital. And Ms. Bhutto's husband, Senator Asif Ali Zardari, is in Dubai with their children, and we are waiting to hear what he will decide to do. At this point, there has been no decision about whether the party boycotts elections or not.
Part of our conversation with Farah Ipsahani, who apparently now is actually at the Bhutto's home. We spoke to her when she was at the hospital.
There are reports of scattered events of violence coming from throughout Pakistan. Earlier today, Nawaz Sharif, another former premier and opposition leader, arrived at the hospital and sat silently next to Bhutto's body, saying that Benazir Bhutto, quote, was also my sister, and I will be with you to take the revenge for her death. He said, do not feel alone. I am with you. We will take revenge on the rulers. Hours before the assassination, four people were killed at a rally for Nawaz Sharif when his supporters clashed with backers of Pervez Musharraf.
We're also waiting some tape of comments from President Bush. He spoke to reporters at a hangar adjacent to his Crawford Ranch in Texas. He did tell reporters the United States strongly condemns this cowardly act by murderous extremists who are trying to undermine Pakistan's democracy. When we get that tape, the audio, we'll bring it to you. We also have our web editor, Laura Conaway, in here. And of course, we are a multimedia show. We're covering the story on so many different levels. Laura, what's going on at the blog? I understand it's been quite active.
Yeah, there's a lot happening over there. Our producer, Dan Pashman, found a piece from the Washington Post that Benazir Bhutto published on September 20th as she was preparing to make her return to Pakistan. I'd like to read a couple of sentences.
Sure, from please.
It says, extremism looms as a threat, but it will be contained as it has been in the past if the moderate middle can be mobilized to stand up to fanaticism. And again, this is Bhutto writing in the Washington Post about to return to Pakistan in September. She says, I know I will be greeted with joy by the people. I do not know what awaits me personally or politically once I leave the airport. I pray for the best and prepare for the worst. We have a link to that piece on the blog. Thanks to Dan Pashman for doing it. It's a really nice find. We're also getting more comments from around the world, people weighing in. One of the things that's starting to emerge is that a lot of people really looked at Benazir Bhutto, who was a not, you know, uncomplicated figure, she's actually a quite complex figure with a complex past, as a symbol of hope. They really had a lot of hope for her. Someone writes, sad day for the democratic process. Besides a wonderful leader, this woman was a pinnacle of character. Someone else, such fine allies we have in that country, always open to free elections.
If you'd like to weigh in and join the Bryant Park Project community to discuss the issue of the day that Benazir Bhutto has been assassinated, please go to our blog, npr.org/Bryant Park. Laura, thank you so much. I know you're working mighty hard out there, as are many of our producers, to secure these interviews and find these interesting different angles and to dig deeper into the story. We'll be at it all day. Do stay with us. I'm Allison Stewart along with John Fugelsang. You are listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.